This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Caritzen. We got some more Canadian pre-Olympia contest coverage coming your way. Steve, do you want to do the honors and introduce today's guest?
Yeah, if you guys remember, we had Ian on last week. His wife is also competing in the Olympia. This is going to be her second Olympia, and she's also from Ottawa, north of the border. So happy Labor Day to our American listeners. And we're going to cross the border and talk to Melissa Bumstead. Is it Bumstead or Boomstead?
Bumstead.
Bumstead. Okay. How you doing, Melissa? How's the weather up there? How's the pine trees?
It's good. We don't have a lot of pine trees around here, but
whenever I go to Canada and I step off the plane, that's the first thing I smell is pine trees.
See, I guess we just don't even notice it anymore.
So this is going to be your second Olympia. And we were talking on the pre-show, Trevor didn't want to bring up your first Olympia. So tell us a little bit about our listeners. A lot of them are fans of Ian. They don't, probably don't even know much about the women's side. Tell us what you compete in. How did you do on the first Olympia? And what is your expectations for your second?
So I compete in women's figure, which is, I guess, like the class in between in terms of muscularity. So there's bikini, there's figure, and then there's women's physique. So figure is more about that X frame, muscular but not too muscular. They want you to be lean and separated but not striated. Last year was my second year competing as a pro in figure and my first Olympia. And I went into the Olympia with no expectations. Obviously, my goal was to get a placing, so to be in the top 15. And I did not succeed in that. So I got a 16th, which everyone after 15 comes at the Olympia. But I still had an amazing experience. It was a dream being there. And this year, I'm hoping to crack that top 10. So that's the goal.
I gotta ask before we get into this entire show and all of our questions and everything like that. You're dating Ian, right?
Yeah.
How big is Ian? Like, I think he's around 250 pounds right now.
Right now, yeah, he's over 250 and he's like shredded to the bone. So he's, I mean, I feel bad because I'm around him every day and I've seen him like gain, God, I don't even know how many pounds since in the last 6 years, but.
Okay. So he's like 260 and you're probably what, like 130?
No, I'm 140 right now.
Okay. Anyways, he's twice the size of you. How does he not like kill you when you guys are having sex? Like, I just want to know.
Oh, what do you mean? It's great. It's good to have that like weight on top of you, you know?
I would just imagine like just lying there and feeling like you're suffocating.
Hey, but on the flip side, imagine if Ian was dating like a regular girl with no muscle. Like that would be even worse.
These are just things as men we will never understand, but like we're curious about.
I mean, I always joke, I'm like, we can never break up because you are probably the only man that actually can still make me feel like a small little girl after I put on all this muscle, so.
You're muscular though, but you're still feminine.
Yes, absolutely. I would never, ever change that or say goodbye to that for anything.
And that's actually like my favorite female division is figure. Mm-hmm. Because for me, bikini, it's a little bit too mainstream. Like, I love the bikini division. I think all of those women are great athletes, but like a lot of them don't even really look like they lift weights. You know what I mean? Like it kind of just looks like they got a nice set of tits, a nice butt, and like they're prancing around on stage. And then the women's physique, in my opinion, is just a little bit too muscular for my taste. So like for me, I really like the figure division.
Yeah, me too. I I honestly didn't know anything about bodybuilding before I met Ian. And I remember watching my first Olympia with him, and I just watching the figure women, it was just very elegant, I found. Elegant, but still different enough from, like you said, the average person, that I was just super drawn to it.
So what were you doing before you got introduced to bodybuilding in terms of fitness? Were you still like one of those, like Trevor, the way Trevor is, like one of those obsessive people over fitness? Were you just like, you just ate whatever you wanted?
I was a competitive figure skater in high school, and I dabbled in track and field a little bit, but I quit skating at, I think, like the age of 17. And then I went to university, and people say that you gain the freshman 15, and I probably gained the freshman 40 in university. Like, I got mad fat. So I moved home after, I think, my second year. And at that point, I was like, you need to, like, get your life in order. Like, your body is not what it used to be. Like, I didn't feel, like, hot anymore. And I was used to being, like, confident and, like, feeling good about myself. So I just started eating better and going to the local gym. And I lost a bunch of weight and got skinny from doing, probably looked like a bikini girl, like, from doing Stairmaster 45 minutes a day. And then I met Ian, and yeah, I just started training with him and kind of fell in love with figure. And he was like, you could easily be extremely good at this with your genetics. And now we're here.
So how long ago was that?
Well, I got one question.
Go ahead.
Do you have loving parents, or when you came home at Christmas, having gained 40 pounds, did your dad like, holy shit, you got fat, you need to put down the fork?
That's such a good question. My dad would never, ever touch that. And I honestly don't think my dad would ever even think that. But my mom, she's very honest. And I think one day I was lying on the couch, she was like, oh my God, you have cellulite on your legs. And like, my legs had always been like muscular and lean, like my whole life. And she was like, this is bad. You need to like get this in order. And I was like, fuck you, mom. I hate you. But like, she was so right.
talk to us. Like, what do you think caused that freshman 40? Was it drinking? Was it your diet? What caused it?
Beer, for sure. Well, it's a combination. Like I was drinking so many nights a week because it's just everyone always parties. And then when you're drunk, you eat like shit. You wake up, you're hungover, you eat like shit. It's also moving out. So you're going from kind of living with your parents, who have like basically healthy food. They do the groceries, to doing your own groceries. Like, I could walk to the grocery store and buy a box of Kraft dinner and feed myself. It was just stuff like that.
So you met Ian at the gym, is that correct?
I would see him at the gym. That's not how I met him, though. My best friend at the time was very good friends with him too, and she introduced us.
Okay, so this is a great relationship question, because this is something every guy wants to know. If there's a cute girl at the gym who you've been like making eyes at, you know, for like a couple weeks, how do you approach her? When's the best time to do it?
I mean, you're not going to like the answer, but you don't.
So what do you do? Do you just like write your number and like tape it to a water bottle and be like, hey, you want some water or something?
I wouldn't even. Honestly, the reason why I fell for Ian so hard was because I had to make the first move. But I, like, that's my personality too, right? Like, if a guy comes up to me in the gym and tries to hit on me, it's like a very, very big turnoff. And it always has been. Like, I just don't think it's the place.
How would this woman contact you, though? Like, how would she find out your name and, like, get your contact information, though?
What do you mean? Girls are so smart. We would, like, easily go up to the front desk and be like, yo, who's that hot guy? What's his name? I mean, these days everyone has Instagram, too. So, like, the kids just go on there and, like, slide into your DM.
So how did you figure, okay, so you're working out, there's this like handsome muscular guy. How did you even find out his name was Ian?
No, we went to high school together.
Oh, so you have a backstory.
Yeah, like we our high school was very small and we graduated the same year. So I knew who he was, and like Ian stands out. He has stood out since grade 9, you know what I mean? He was always the most jacked kid. I would see him in the gym and kind of like avoid looking at him because he looks so scary.
What is it like? I got one more, Steve, then you go.
Sure.
What is it like bringing Steve home at Christmas and introducing him to your parents?
Well, I never brought Steve home, but
no, sorry, it's bringing Ian. You know what it's been a long day. You know what I mean? Were they like totally into it? Were they like, "Whoa, this is awesome. Let's get him two dinner plates instead of one." Or were they kind of like, "Whoa, who's this guy?"
I think they were just, I mean, you meet Ian and he's such a nice guy. They didn't really question. They had a lot of questions about what he did and how he got so jacked, and like food, obviously, like it was always a joke, my mom trying to feed him and stuff. But no, they were more interested.
I could see your mom like tapping you on the shoulder and be like, "Melissa, I gotta know, does Ian take steroids?"
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, Steve, you can go. Sorry, I've been hogging the show.
No, just a follow up on that. Like, so help these guys out there. Like, so you're not gonna approach a girl in the gym. I actually agree with that. Because, like, the girls that I've dated in the past, a lot of them are gym rats, too. And they get so sick of these creepy-ass guys. Like, whenever they're on the machine, the guy always comes, like, right next to them. Like, you know, whatever, on the bicycle or a treadmill or something. As if, you know, it's so obvious. These guys are creeping on them. So, I agree with you. But let's say you run into the girl in the grocery store. You cross paths. Should you say something like, "Hey, no gym today," or make some type of comment like that, like some playful comment, and see how she reacts?
Yes, totally.
Okay, so that's the way to do it then.
That's better than pretending that you like don't recognize each other when obviously you do. Like, that shows you at least have balls. But there's a balance between showing that you have the balls to like go after what you want and then like going up to someone in the middle of a workout, you know what I mean?
I do. I know what I do.
That's my opinion.
So Melissa, what I want to know is, when you first got interested in, you know, bodybuilding and becoming a figure girl, mm-hmm. where did you find your information? Because I feel like most of the information on the internet is geared towards men. And there's very little information out there for females. And if you go on, you know, the message boards and the forums, I'd say 95% of the people posting are men.
I mean, I feel like I'm such an anomaly because I always had Ian right by my side. You know what I mean? Like, for training, when I first started training seriously, like weightlifting, it was always me just honestly copying Ian's workouts and trying to keep up with Ian. For my diet and my first prep, Ian just did everything. I don't know where he got the information. He just told me what to do and I did it.
Do you have a coach helping you now, or is Ian still doing everything?
Oh no, Ian does everything.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yep. Last night, Ian went and had a hamburger and he had to take a look at me and basically be like, "Sorry, you're not coming with me." And I was like, "I hate you."
Is that hard though? Because like obviously you love Ian, with him being your husband, but like as a prep coach, he needs to, you know, pull the hammer sometimes, and like you're hungry and miserable and he has to be like, "Sorry, you're right on track, like no cheat meal." Is there ever like butting of heads?
No, not when it comes to that. I think we both are so, at this point especially, we're both so invested in it. And the only time that we honestly sometimes butt heads is me probably over dieting or over cardioing myself. And that's when he's like, "You need to stop. Like, you're too lean. You're flat. You need to stop. You don't need to do cardio." And at that point I'm like, "Why? I want to." And like, that's when we'll butt heads, but never for things like cheating on a diet or cheat meals like that, because at the end of the day, I know he's just as invested in my success as I am. So if he's going to tell me no burger, it's because it's for my success, right?
Are you friends with a lot of your peers that are going to be competing against you?
I'm actually not.
How does it work with women? Because we talked to Ian about how it works with men. How does it work with women? Are women really like, they don't network, they don't talk?
I think they do. I think because I'm a little newer and maybe younger that I haven't, and Canadian, I haven't really connected with a lot of women, but I find the camaraderie backstage like crazy with like crazy good with the girls. Like,
okay.
Super nice. Yeah.
Are they the same boat as you, or do they have a spouse or a boyfriend that got them into bodybuilding or that's coaching them, you think?
No, I don't think that's that common.
So what do you think that motivates them? Because obviously you and Ian motivate each other. What do you think is motivating them? Because I mean, you come from a fitness background. So I mean, obviously you're used to competing and stuff, and it takes a certain amount of, you know, willpower and motivation to kind of do this type of, you know, high level competition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I feel like you feed off each other, but what do you think most women, because I noticed in the gym, there's a handful of women who are the most, you know, serious people in the gym. And most men are not like that in the gym, but the women are like the, you know, the regular women are more. So I'm curious, do you think it's maybe like, oh, you know, I have an older brother that I'm trying to keep up with growing up. What do you think kind of motivates a lot of women
I think when you talk, at least for figure, when you talk to the average competitor, they're at one point they were a competitive athlete, whether it be gymnastics or track and field or something like that. But the average woman that I compete against, I would say probably has the same kind of backstory as me, that you had a sport and you loved the competitive nature of it, and you grew out of it and you found this.
Do you see yourself bodybuilding the rest of your life?
No.
What did you go to university for?
Neuroscience.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty nerdy.
I was a pretty big nerd in high school, to be honest.
That makes sense, because opposites attract. So you're kind of like this nerdy girl who is like into like big muscular guys.
Well, yeah, I was pretty nerdy, and Ian was like Mr. Popular. So.
Okay. Well, this is like a high school sitcom all coming together.
Yeah. Look at me now. Right.
What I want to know is, what's it like? Like, your brother is a top Olympia contender. Like, chances are he's going to get top 3 at the Mr. Olympia this year. Ian, you know, probably is going to get top 10. You're probably going to get top 10. Like, that's pretty cool that, like, your brother and your husband are all prepping for the Olympia together. Like, what is Christmas like at your guys' house? Do you guys, like, get each other, like, posing trunks?
It's so funny because we get this question so much. But, like, I mean, obviously, especially the boys, like, bodybuilding is a huge conversation like amongst the dinner table, but we're just regular people, you know what I mean? Like, our lives are pretty normal other than the fact that all three of us do it together. But like, when we're around our family or all our other friends, none of our other friends bodybuild. Like, we're just kind of the three anomalies, I guess.
Give us what a typical day for Melissa Bumstead looks like. What did your day look like today?
Okay, this morning I woke up and Ian was still asleep, and I noticed that he was out of food, so I cooked rice, because I literally have to cook rice probably every 3 days for Ian. And then I cooked him some fish, and then I fed the dogs. We have two dogs. Then I walked the dogs. And then I came home. Ian woke up. We went to go do our fasted cardio. We got a coffee, came home. I cooked him breakfast. I cooked myself breakfast. Took a shower. Ate meal two. Went to the gym. Came home. Ate again. I went and did a cryotherapy appointment. Then I came home. Ate again. And now I'm here.
What's cryotherapy for? I've been hearing a lot of people get that done.
I'm probably not the best person. Sorry, is that loud?
It's okay.
I'm probably not the best person to explain it, but I think it's essentially like taking an ice bath on steroids. So it's to like speed up recovery and reduce inflammation, but you basically stand in this like tank that's filled with nitrogen something. Some sort of gas that gets the tank to like minus, I think today it got to minus 140 degrees Fahrenheit, and you stand in there for 2.5 minutes and it like kind of freezes you for a little bit. And then you get out and feel like completely refreshed.
Have you noticed a benefit in your training?
In my legs, 100%. Like my, because of all the I'm not doing that much cardio right now, but I train my legs probably about every 3 days. So, and I do cardio every day. So with this, it's really been helping kind of the recovery process, I find. Yeah.
How much does that cost? And where is those places usually we can find them? Because I definitely, it sounds like something I'd want to try.
I know they're not, in every city, I think in Canada, it's only Ottawa, Toronto, and Vancouver that has it right now. I don't know about the States, but a session is $60. If you buy a package, they get cheaper. And I mean, at least at our clinic, it's covered under chiropractic health benefits or health insurance.
Wow, you guys in Canada, you guys in Canada have some healthcare system. Let me tell you, United States.
Yeah, you guys.
It's a different world. No. A family friend, the kid got it. Went to the hospital for 3 days, and it cost $40,000. That was his hospital bill.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, America. You know what a country.
No, we complain about our taxes, but we're pretty lucky, to be honest.
Yeah, we can go get hit by a car and like it's all covered.
Yeah. We're not screwed for $200,000 after getting hit by a car.
So Melissa, let's talk like life goals. So you said you don't want to bodybuild forever. Do you want to have kids in the future? Like these are all important things like as a female you need to kind of think about.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely want kids. When, I don't know. I know Ian's pretty antsy, but he also doesn't have to give up his body to start making babies.
You can always adopt.
No. We got to see what we would create. Come on.
With your genetics, it'd be the next Mr. Olympia, guaranteed.
Right? Like, I feel like it's going to be the sickest kid ever. I tell myself I'm going to compete while I'm still successful and while I still love it. And until then, it'll have to stay on the back burner, to be honest. I mean, I'm 27, so time's ticking, but.
What do you see yourself doing after bodybuilding?
I don't know. I think I might go back to school and get a master's degree. I've thought about doing something in pharmaceuticals with my degree. I've thought about doing research. The neuroscience field is expanding so crazy fast. So I might go back to school. I wouldn't mind kind of doing like a master's degree while I have a baby. I think that would be a fun thing to do, but I haven't really figured it out.
A master's degree is very different than an undergrad. So I'm almost done my master's. I'm just finishing up my research project. But like when you do an undergrad, it's kind of like, here's the knowledge, memorize it, learn it. We're going to test you on it. Whereas when you do a graduate program, it's like, what's a world program? Let's discuss ideas and then develop research topics to solve it. Mm-hmm. So it kind of be like, children aren't eating vegetables. Why? Is it because they don't like the taste of them? Is it because they're not accessible? Is it because all of the TV ads are towards processed food? So like you kind of have like a discussion like that. And then you do a research topic on, let's see if we give kids TV commercials of carrots jumping around singing and saying, eat me. Will kids eat more vegetables then? So that's kind of like a graduate program. It's very, very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I choose to do that, I would have to kind of figure out what research interests me in my field and like what I would, who I would study under, where I would study, stuff like that.
Talk to us a little bit about, as a female competing, do you almost feel like screwed that most of the opportunities are for men? Like, look at the prize money for the Mr. Olympia and look at the prize money for the top figure Olympia, and it's like a 20th.
Yeah, but it's the same for like classic physique and open bodybuilding.
Okay, let's say this, like you and Ian are both sponsored. Ian is sponsored by ANS, you're sponsored by Project AD. Mm-hmm. I don't know this, but I'm probably right that Ian's getting paid a lot more money than you.
Yeah.
And then when just across the board, male bodybuilders are paid way more than females. Like, does that kind of grind your gears at all? Like, cause I don't really think it's ethical.
The thing is, and it, I don't want to like be anti-feminist when I say this, but it doesn't really bother me. I honestly think as a woman, we have just as much opportunity if we choose to kind of use the other avenues that we can benefit from. Like women in the fitness industry are huge. Like, no, not necessarily competing, but think about Instagram models, for example, or like Gymshark athletes or things like that. Like as a woman, the opportunity, if you choose to seize it, is crazy.
Like, you think women are just kind of like making excuses and they're just playing like the feminist card?
Kind of. I think you're in charge of your own destiny. And if you honestly want to like build your following and do that, then that's what's going to get you money. And yes, Ian gets paid more than me, but he also has double the following of me on Instagram and has been kind of working his social media a lot harder and a lot longer than me. So I would expect him to get paid more than me.
Let's talk about Instagram. You've got, I think, around 60,000 followers. Mm-hmm. For a lot of, you know, females who are listening to the show, and they basically want to be like you, you know, they want to be a IFBB figure pro. How would you recommend getting started? Because I feel like it's so easy now to get lost in the shuffle. Like if I search bodybuilding on Instagram, I'll find millions of photos. Like how do you get your account to stand out?
I don't really know because I don't try. I'm very lucky that my Instagram has grown super organically. Like I just have put myself out there and been very authentic and never posted when I didn't want to post. And that's probably why my following is not as big as it could be or as it should be. But I think if it's meant to be, it's not going to be hard. I think if you're meant to be an influencer and people relate to you and people want to follow you and people see value in you, it's not going to be difficult. It's just going to happen.
Do you post like cooking videos on YouTube or anything like that?
No. But like, that's shit that I probably should be doing. You know what I mean?
I'd watch them.
Well, I also am like the diet hack queen because I literally eat like zero carb and can still like make the tastiest food. So.
Okay. Well, the floor is yours. Tell us some of your diet hacks.
I put a layer of lettuce and cucumber under everything that I eat. So my volume is like massive. It's always on top of like a big salad. I use cauliflower rice and fry it in almost everything. I mean, not right now, but in off season, I can make some pretty good like protein cakes that are super low calorie. I make protein ice cream that tastes way better than any like Halo Top bullshit that you could buy at a store.
How do you make the cauliflower rice? I've seen a lot of YouTube videos on it.
Oh, I buy it. I'm lazy, but you could easily get a machine that does it and have to like rice a head of cauliflower.
What is it? Just minced cauliflower?
Yeah, and you just fry it like rice. Put a little soy sauce on it. I can't really tell the difference.
Okay. What does your diet look like? Steve, you go ahead, and then I'll ask her about her current diet.
No, finish that topic. I have some user questions. So finish that one, and then we'll go to user.
I want
to
know, just like out of curiosity, what does your diet look like, you know, 1 week out roughly from the Miss, is it, you still say Mr. Olympia or is it Miss Olympia as a female? I've never gotten that one.
I think it's Miss. I don't really know. Yeah, Miss.
Is it, all the posters say Mr. Olympia.
Well, I mean, the show is Mr. Olympia, but I think the title that I'm going for is, I think that's how it works.
Okay.
Tell us what your diet is.
1 week out.
1 week out.
Steve's got some questions.
It's tricky because I've been dieting for so long, right? Like I started dieting in February, and right now I'm eating probably 200 grams of carbs a day, but that's just because we're increasing my carbs so I don't waste away. But normally I wake up and probably have egg whites and eggs for breakfast, no carbs. Pre-workout, I'd have cream of rice with a scoop of protein and some berries. Post-workout would be rice cakes and a scoop of isolate. And then it would be carbless meals. So 3 carbless meals with white fish. But right now, Ian just put me on high carb, so I'm eating like way more than that. But it's also been changing so much because I've been dieting for upwards of the year, right?
So it sounds like it's pretty standard bodybuilding diet. There's no like tricks in there. You probably won't want to say anything, right? You don't want your competitors to know, right?
I don't think there is any tricks or secrets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you're consistent and you do your job and you have good work ethic and good genetics, and that's what gets you to the top.
Yeah, that's what all the pros that come on here say. You know, that's how it works in any professional sport, like NFL, NHL, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like there is no secret, you know. So we have a bunch of user questions. Okay. Let me ask you the first one. This is a guy asking it, and he wants to know, let me pull it up here. He says, what are some of the best things you can say to a woman that is very insecure about her body? How can you make them feel better about these issues?
I mean, I don't want to go all like psychology on people, but there's no point in trying to make someone feel better without getting to the root of the issue. So like, why do you feel like shit about your body? Where is that coming from? And from there, you have to solve where it's coming from, because you saying you look beautiful is not, it might feel good for a second, but no, she's never going to believe it.
One question I have for you, Melissa, being a top figure pro, are you insecure about your body?
Oh my God. Yeah. All the time. Like I could be a day out from a show and be in the best shape of my life and still be insecure about my body. This battle of self-doubt, it never goes away, ever.
So I think for that listener, they kind of just got to learn that it's something they're always going to deal with, and it's more finding a coping mechanism than trying to find a solution, because I don't think it's something you'll ever lose. Mm-hmm. Because like as a society, we live in that grass is always greener, right? Like someone with brown hair and brown eyes will look at me and they'll be like, oh, I wish I had blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
And then I'll look at them and I'll be like, oh, I wish I had brown hair and brown eyes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm 6'1", a short bodybuilder will look at me and be like, oh, I wish I was that tall. Well, I look at him, I'm like, bro, I've got such long limbs. I couldn't bodybuild to save my life.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just think that's human nature.
I also think it's important to practice self-love a little bit, because I find I was always looking at other people and being like, oh my God, she's so beautiful, or oh my God, she looks, her butt's so nice, or whatever. And I would never compliment myself. And when you start appreciating things about you that you like, you start to kind of respect yourself a little more and not beat yourself up so hard.
So next question, she wants to know, how often should I be training?
I mean, that totally depends on your goals and your diets. Like,
yeah, I mean, obviously, like, most of the people, you know, who listen to the show, they're, you know, females and stuff, they're not competitors. So what do you think the average, you know, woman who likes going to the gym, what would be a good number to hit?
I mean, I still think you can go to the gym once a day. Do I think you necessarily have to hit weights every day? No, but I think sweating once a day is absolutely beneficial. Whether you want to do a yoga class or go do cardio or hit your legs or do an upper body, like that's what I would do every day for sure.
Okay. Next question. This is a gentleman. He says that his wife's libido has been going down, and he wants to know if there's any supplements or anything that he can do. Should he bring it up to her to kind of get that going in the right direction? What are your advice to this guy?
Oh my God. I don't know. Ask her why.
You think asking her though would be smart? You don't think she'd get defensive?
No, I would totally want Ian to talk to me about it.
Okay. So what should he say? Just go up to her and be like, hey, you know, what's the deal?
What's the deal, bitch?
No, I just feel like, hey, babe, we haven't really, like, been getting it on lately. What's up?
We haven't been communicating on a physical level lately.
You guys are so Canadian, I swear. This shit wouldn't work in the U.S.
What would you say in the U.S.?
I don't know. You guys are so nice up there and so diplomatic with each other. Like, it's amazing. I wonder, I don't know. I feel like, you know, if you even bring it up, like, the woman will flip out. Like, you start getting stuff thrown at you and stuff just by.
Well, then you have severe issues in your relationship.
You've never dated, like, an Italian women, though. That's nope. What they're crazy. Italian American women, oh my God, they're nuts. They throw stuff at you.
See, this I tell Ian all the time, I'm like, you're lucky to be dating such a rational woman, because he could probably say anything to me and I don't think I would ever freak out.
Do you think a romantic evening to try to, like, with music and stuff, doing something romantic for a woman is good, because you think that when you're married and stuff, you tend to kind of just, like, not appreciate each other, and you start neglecting stuff? Because when you first start dating, it's like you're bringing her flowers, you're opening doors, or you're trying, you know, you put in a lot of effort, and then you get married or you get in a relationship, you just forget to do that. It's almost like, well, I already have her, I don't need to really try.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go the route and all of a sudden start by taking responsibility and looking inward and seeing, like, well, when is the last time that I bought her flowers? When is the last time I said thank you for cooking dinner or for cleaning the kitchen? Like, maybe she just feels undervalued, underappreciated, and that's why she doesn't want to give you any.
So what should a guy do who's listening to this, to kind of, who's kind of neglecting his wife or neglecting his girlfriend? What would be something that Ian could do for you to make you so happy when you come home? Like,
I mean, to be honest, every time Ian buys me flowers for no reason, it makes me feel so good.
Okay.
I'm not talking about, like, oh, it's your birthday, here's some flowers. I'm talking about, like, I come home from the gym and there's flowers delivered and it literally says just because. Like, that's amazing. I mean, I don't know. I have a man that, like, says thank you to me and appreciates everything that I do. So I'm very, very lucky in that sense. I think just showing that you see everything that your partner does for you and that you appreciate it on a daily basis, even if you've been married for 5 years, can go a long way. Plus, you know your partner. Like, if your wife likes to have baths, like, run a nice bath for her and be like, hey, surprise, something's upstairs. My best friend loves wine, and her boyfriend will go out and buy her favorite bottle of wine on the way home from work and be like, hey, surprise, just because. It's like things like that.
So basically, like, these cliche Hollywood things you hear about, you know, like
buying. Yeah, but this is not cliche. Like, I get this. Like,
I'm saying, like, it actually works.
Yes, of course.
So now, when you say buy flowers, how much did they spend?
I don't know. Flowers are really expensive, actually.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking is, like, if I'm going to be buying my girlfriend flowers on, you know, a couple times per month, this is going to add up quick.
Well, I mean, you're early, Trevor. I mean, you're early in your relationship. Maybe showering her with gifts isn't a wise, you know, so early. But I'm saying, once you're deep in a relationship, that's when shit gets start getting stale. You know, that's kind of what this person was asking. But in your situation, it's different.
What if you just buy some, like, Barry White mixtapes? Would that work?
I if you can find those, yeah.
Oh, you can find anything.
I mean, you could also go to the grocery store and buy, like, a $20 planted orchid, and I'm sure that would be nice.
What's an orchid? Is that a flower?
I don't know what an orchid is. Are you sure you have a girlfriend?
I is an orchid a type of flower?
Yeah. It's like a plant. It's like a flower plant. It's a really, yeah. It's very hard to take care of. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like almost having a pet, you know, if you get one.
Well, like, I'm practical, right? So, like, I would probably get her, like, a sunflower, because then when it's done, you can eat the seeds, so it doesn't go to waste.
Oh.
Just make sure she's not allergic. Because a lot of people are allergic to sunflowers, because they have so much pollen.
Or I'd buy her, like, a goldfish. I'd be like, look, now you have a friend for when I'm not home.
That's so cute, though. How cute is that?
The problem is goldfish only live like 2 weeks, so yeah. She'll probably cry when it dies.
Yeah, but then you can comfort her.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Comfort exactly. Sex.
So next question is gym clothing and shoes. She wants to know what's some good recommendations on that for women. That's a good question, because I have actually no clue. I wear Nike shoes as a guy, but I never even taken a look at what women are wearing in the gym. What are some shoes you recommend for women in the gym?
I mean, I used to wear a lot of Adidas shoes, but I'm kind of over it. Nike is okay right now in terms of sneakers, but I honestly wear Converse to the gym almost every day. Wear white low top Converse.
What should she be wearing? What are recommendations for what she should wear?
I mean, my favorite clothing brand for the gym is extremely expensive. It's called PE Nation, but I mean, there's shit everywhere. Like, Forever 21 has clothes right now, gym clothes now. Like, I worked at Lululemon for years, and they have really nice stuff, but again, it's so expensive.
What would you recommend for a woman who's a little bit overweight and might not feel comfortable in Lululemon?
I don't know.
Maybe black. Black kind of makes you look thinner, right?
Yeah, I would just wear black, and I would go to like a sports store. Like, we have Sport Check or something, and probably get like Nike or Adidas, like stuff like that. I know Nike actually has a like plus size line too.
Trevor's into plus size women.
So is Ian.
I like big black chicks.
Oh,
it's tough to find them in Winnipeg, though. So Trevor usually goes like on websites. He flies them in from like the U.S.
BBW?
From the south.
I'm not even kidding. Like, this isn't even an exaggeration. I can send you guys screenshots if you want. I get at least 3 or 4 Instagram DMs from random black girls. I don't know. They love me.
Are they big black girls?
Usually, yeah.
It's because you're like a pretty blonde skinny boy, maybe.
If I post like one of like my modeling photos, I'll get like 10 Instagram DMs from random black girls I don't know.
Oh my God. When you travel to the States, do you get hit on by like black women a lot?
I was in New York 2 or 3 months ago, and yeah, especially like a big black like Southern woman, yeah. they're like, oh, from Canada, hey, well, I hope you enjoy your stay, and they like want to get to know you, and like I think it's the blonde hair.
It's probably your blonde hair and your body type, yeah.
Well, like I don't really look like an athlete. Like people always think I'm a hockey player because I'm from Canada. Mm-hmm. So I think like they like the skinny jacked, like blonde hair, oh, blue eyes type look.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, Melissa? Like Trevor always says he gets 5 messages a day from women. I get none. I've never had a single woman message me. I must be an ugly motherfucker.
No, you're more my type than Trevor. Don't you worry about it.
Okay. So next question is female protein. She wants to know if there's any brands for protein. I mean, I don't know. It's a random question, but that's what she wanted to ask you.
No.
Okay. Pretty much no.
I mean, if a protein powder is good for a man, it's going to be good for a woman too. I would just make sure you're using a clean isolate so your stomach can digest it easily.
Okay, Melissa, this is a great topic because like a lot of women think like these women specific supplements are different than men specific supplements. So talk to us about this like woman protein powder that comes in a smaller jar but is twice the cost of regular protein.
It's called marketing and it's for suckers. All our bodies use nutrients the same way, whether we're a man or a woman. Yes, there are certain vitamins and micronutrients that maybe we need more of, but honestly, at the end of the day, like I take the same vitamins as Ian. If Ian buys a men's multi, I'm going to use it. I'm not going to go out and buy a woman's multi. I don't really care. So
I have 2 or 3 clients a month ask me about women protein. And I'm like, do you go to the butcher and ask for the woman chicken breast?
Yeah. Like, do you buy your meat in a different grocery store? Like this is, yeah, no, it's marketing. And if it makes them feel good to buy something with a pink label, I say give her, but it's very unnecessary.
Well, that's not diss pink. Pink's my favorite color, but I agree with what you're saying.
Okay, but let's be serious. These women proteins, they're all pink.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Pink or black?
Okay, maybe purple.
What's your favorite color?
White.
That's a shade. That's not a color.
Okay, but I don't really like to wear. Like, are we talking wear or like look at? Like,
it's just a random question. You don't have to think too much about it.
I don't have one, I guess.
Steve, you have some more listener questions?
Yeah, she wants. She says, "Can you ask Melissa if she does yoga or Pilates?"
Oh, yoga sometimes. I like to do hip opener classes because it feels really good. I actually did Pilates at one point and that shit is so hard, but I think it's really good for your core, to be honest, and your posture. I would recommend Pilates to anyone who can access it or afford it.
Steve, do you want to finish off with our 5 question Q&A segment?
Yeah, we're going to do, we did this with Ian. I don't know if he clued you in on the question, so maybe I'm going to mix them up a little bit. But we like to ask for your fans. You have 60,000 Instagram fans, and you'll probably get a lot more after this, especially from our female listeners. Mm-hmm. So we like to ask some questions, kind of get to know you a little on a deeper level. So this is kind of a fun little, it's called First and 5. So the first question is, hardest part of bodybuilding is what?
For me, dieting.
Okay.
Oh, dieting.
That's a good one. Place you would like to travel to and why?
I've always really, really wanted to go to Greece. And to be honest, this probably makes me sound so stupid, but it's because every time I see photos of like the water with all the white buildings, it just makes me like drool. I feel like it looks like a dream.
Okay. Are you Greek or?
No.
Okay. So it's just something you want to know. Next question is favorite TV show.
Okay, so my only vice actually is that I watch really, really trashy TV. So like any reality show, like Real Housewives of Orange County or like Real Housewives of Atlanta, like I die for. Or The Bachelor, like I die for those shows.
Maybe they'll get you on Real Housewives of Ottawa.
Oh my God, I would love to.
Yeah, so producers, if you guys are listening, we had a guy from Naked. Have you seen Naked and Afraid?
No.
Oh, okay. Because we had a guest from that show that came on here.
Oh.
It's a reality show where they put you out in the middle of nowhere with no clothes, no nothing. You have to survive for 21 days.
So you got to speak to someone who did this.
Yeah, his was a 40-day challenge, though. 40 days. He ended up losing 38 pounds during
it. So he was the weirdest guy you will ever meet.
I think you have to be to sign up for that.
I would love to do it, personally. Like, not for 40 days, but, like, for a week. You'd
be dead in a week.
No, dude, I can survive. You'd be dead in a day. You've never even hunted or fished before, Trevor. You'd be dead in a day.
You guys could figure it out.
Trevor's smart, though. He's a smart guy. He'd figure out how to survive. So next question is, you wouldn't be successful in bodybuilding if it wasn't for who or what, besides Ian. I have to throw in that, besides Ian at the end.
Yeah, that's too easy for me. Probably my parents. I think my parents instilled a lot of belief that I have in myself from a very young age, and I think that's something that you really need to keep your mental tenacity when you're doing something like bodybuilding.
Yeah, it's interesting because I grew up, my dad used to go play tennis every day for like 4 hours straight after he did like an all-nighter with work. So that kind of taught me just to go to the gym even if you're feeling worn out or tired. But you know, it's maybe like a freak, you know, in that regard. So The last question is, what music is playing in your car?
Country.
Really? Like, Ian, I think Ian said country too. Didn't he, Trevor?
I mean,
you're making these Canadians look bad.
Why? What's wrong with country?
I have no desire to drive a big truck or marry my cousin.
But it's funny because Trevor's from a country part of Canada. He's from the redneck part of Canada, yeah, and you're from Ottawa.
That's probably why he hates it.
But you would think he'd be into country and you would be more into like the East Coast type of music. So that's kind of funny how it works. You guys are probably from like the suburbs of Ottawa. You're not from like the city.
We're not like downtown Ottawa, but we're nowhere near the country.
Ottawa has a lot of really good underground rap music.
Oh, okay.
Because like the whole like greater Toronto area,
yeah,
it's got really good music. Like that's where Drake came from.
I know, but like, if I have to listen to Drake one more time, I'm going to cut my ears off.
Well, yeah, I agree with you because it's like the same song over and over and over.
Oh,
on
the, my God. Every 5 minutes on the radio, too. I can't.
Do you guys have French music, too, in your radio stations or no? Because you're close to Quebec.
I don't even know. We must have. I think there might be one station. I don't know what it is. It's not on our roster because
okay. We don't speak French. So you don't speak French at all, then?
Well, I can understand it very well. When I speak it, it's extremely embarrassing, but
do you like French people or do they get on your nerves?
No, I feel like some French people do, but some people get on my nerves in general.
Oh, okay.
What about poutine? Is that one of your favorite cheat meals?
I hate poutine. I hate gravy. I think it's so gross.
What about maple syrup?
I love maple syrup.
Okay, you're still a Canadian.
Good.
So, but Ian said you have a maple tree in your yard. Do you go, like, cut it and get maple syrup out of it? Is that a stupid question?
I mean, I think you have to, I don't know if you can do that to any maple tree. I feel like it has to be a specific kind.
Trevor, what do you think? Is that true?
You tap it. It's basically, it's like the tree sap. So basically.
Could I actually tap my tree out front on my front lawn?
Yeah, you could, for sure.
Oh.
In Montreal, they have like a maple syrup festival every year. I think it's in February, where literally like kids like go and like tap maple trees, and then like the maple syrup freezes into popsicles, and they eat the maple syrup popsicles. It's like an actual festival.
Yeah, we've seen at we go to Mont Tremblant. They do that popsicle shit on the.
I think that's what it's called.
Mont Tremblant?
I can't remember. There's so many crazy French Canadian holidays. I can't keep up.
Yeah.
Okay, Melissa, I got two questions for you and then we'll close up the show.
Okay.
With Ian being, you know, a top Mr. Olympia competitor, with yourself being a top Mr. Olympia competitor, do you see yourself staying in Canada or do you see yourself eventually moving to the United States?
I wouldn't mind having a second property in the States. I wouldn't mind having somewhere maybe in Vegas to kind of spend a couple months of the year in, but no, I would never move to the States full time.
I've been looking into that because I was thinking about buying a place in Florida. They totally screw you as a Canadian. When you sell the property, you have to give 50% to taxes.
Stop it.
Yeah, they totally screw you. And then there's also inheritance fee. So if you die and someone inherits that property, they have to pay a third of the property cost immediately in tax.
And is that just because we're Canadian buying in the States?
Yeah.
That's annoying.
You pay to the U.S. government or the Canadian government?
The U.S. government.
Yeah, that you are getting screwed. That's messed up.
Yeah, that's annoying. But what if you have dual citizenship?
Then I think you'd be okay. Are you a dual citizen though?
No, but I could try to become one.
It's very, very hard.
Oh God.
I looked into getting a green card. Basically, you have to have an employer in the United States that has to fill out the paperwork, and they basically have to justify to the U.S. government that you have a unique skill set that they can't find in a U.S. employee, and that's why they have to immigrate you.
I mean, I kind of do.
What you need to do is you need to start up your YouTube channel and then get some videos going, and then that company will be like, we want to import it because, like, look, no one cooks like Melissa. And you'd be like, yeah, check out these low-carb protein pancakes. Think anyone can just cook these? No.
The thing that's tricky about that is I feel like my shit tastes so good to me because I'm so hungry, and the average person would eat it and be like, this tastes like cardboard.
Yeah, actually, I get that a lot too. I'll like send a client like, oh, you got to try this like recipe. It's like just as good as like brownies or whatever. They'll be like, Trevor, you've been eating shitty food so long, you forget what regular food tastes like.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's like, you haven't had real ice cream in years. That's why you think this tastes good.
Well, I don't know. As long as you can like sell it well, because like every food channel, like I'm sure some of the meals they make don't actually taste good, but they like make it plated so nice and everything. I think if you can just like sell it, that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. It's true. Do you have any special thank yous, any special shout outs, anything like that you want to do?
I literally did not hear a word you just said.
Do you have any special thank yous, shout outs? Do you want to thank God, anything like that?
Not God. I'll thank Ian and Christopher and my family for being so supportive. My sponsor, Project AD. Again, like, I'm so lucky to be surrounded by people that believe in me so hard. So it makes it really easy to kind of keep pushing and do what I do. And that comes from my family, but also from all my sponsors, my suit sponsor, Suits by V, Project AD, Bro Activewear, Liquid Sunrays. I'm very excited to go to Vegas this year. I think it's going to be a really special year.
Well, Melissa, we're all rooting for you. This podcast particularly has a huge Canadian following. So, I mean, everyone's loving the Canadian contest coverage. You got all of Canada rooting behind you. Steve's a Canadian at heart. He's even rooting behind you. Hopefully you crack the top 10. I think it'd be pretty cool if, like, you, Ian, and Chris all crack the top 10. Like, that's got to be a record for something.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine. It would be a freak show.
So, best of luck at the Olympia. You got a lot of support. Everyone who's listening to this podcast is rooting you on. For your host, Trevor Caritzen, for my co-host, Steve Smee, and for our special guest, IFBB Pro, Melissa Bumstead, this has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening.